is straight out of the Dark Ages. So anyway, Jesus, author of Kingdom Relationships. And I'm just going to pray. So Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we ask that you be with us, that you encourage us, that you strengthen us, that you lead us and guide us in all truth. I pray, Father, that that which is of you would pierce our hearts, and that which is not of you would fall on the floor before us. Father, I pray that you would just surround us with your presence as we get into your word, and that we would put on our Berean hats and just study it and bring it, make it personal to each and every one of us. And the church said, amen. Wasn't it great having Phil and Debbie here last week? I tell you what, God has, and I'm beginning to believe it now because they've told me this several times, that this is one of their favorite churches to come, that they just enjoy us. They enjoy the presence of the living God as he comes in, and they just sense the presence of the Spirit. So God has really knit our hearts together, and I really encourage you guys to keep praying for them for this next 2 years, as they're going to be winding things down in Ecuador. And I think that after they do that, based on some comments and so forth, we'll probably see a lot more of them. Amen? Amen. So 2 weeks ago, we discussed how Jesus had restored relationships. And we discussed how they were broken in the garden. You know, when you read Genesis 2 and then into Genesis 3, you see how the relationship were broken. But the thing we have to remember, that God was not flustered. He was really not caught off guard. He wasn't upset about it. And he wasn't running around like Chicken Little. Oh, sky's falling, sky's falling, sky's falling. Oh, no, what are we going to do now? He already had the plan in place. He already knew that we would, each one of us individually, would be part of his family. Ephesians 1, 4, 5. And can just bear with me. Can you read through this as I read through, and where you see the pronoun, like, God loved us, put it, God loved me. All right. Okay, because this is such a great verse. Chris and I actually have this verse hanging on our mirrors in our bathrooms. Yeah, and we have in it Gary or Chris or whatever. But this is just a great verse, and I'm reading out of New Living Translation. Okay, read with me. Even before he made the world, God loved us and chose us in Christ to be holy and without fault in his eyes. God decided in advance to adopt us into his own family by bringing us to himself through Jesus Christ. This is what he wanted to do, and it gave him great pleasure. Each one in this room that calls upon the name of Jesus gives him great pleasure. Now, meditate on that a little bit. You know, not now, but next quiet time, tomorrow morning or this afternoon, whenever. Just, God finds great pleasure in me. And think about that. God, one who created everything, finds great pleasure in me who... righteousness before he did something was his filthy rags. It's pretty powerful. See, he knew, God knew that he was going to have what his heart desired, that he was going to have this spiritual community, that he was going to have relationships with this people, that he knew that he was going to have this family that he desired. And meditate upon that, because the truth of the matter is, he didn't need us. He was complete and perfect. Because he's eternal. He's relational. He's who he is. God is an us. He's not a me. Right there, that should tell us something. That we need to be an us and not a me. See, it's up to us. And here's the hard part, as to whether we really, really, really want to be part of it, of a community, of a family, a spiritual family, forming relationships. Because for all of eternity, think about this about God. For all of eternity, God delighted in himself. And the makeup of the triune God. And they absolutely loved and adored each other. And they communicated with one another intimately and passionately. And they did all of this as a community of persons. That's what the triune God is, the Trinity is. You know, I mean, three in one, one in three. And there's this absolute community, this absolutely perfect relationship, this absolutely perfect friendship and love for each other. All setting an example for us, for who we are, for what we're called to be. See, that's what makes Christianity unique. You can look at every other religion in the world, and never is relationship the first thing. It'll be works, or it'll be this, or it'll be that, or you got to do that, or you got to do this. But God sent his son Jesus so that we could have relationship. It's important. It's unique. God has such an amazing heart. And I know some of this is going to seem redundant, but we need to get this in every pore of our bodies. We need to understand this, that God has a heart for family and that he's relational, that he lives in community, not only with the Godhead, but with us, those who are in Christ. See, God is going to have that family because he's the Father, with the capital F. And we sometimes have to put aside who our father, little f, was, so that we don't confuse the two. And that all family starts with God the Father. Everything starts with God the Father. And then he brought us all into that through the cross and what Jesus did on the cross. See, that's what God wants. He wants us to be in that intimate relationship with him. When you look at the Bible, if you start in Genesis 1:1 and you just read through the Bible, and I've said this before, but I would like to take new believers, put them into a room, lock them in there, give them a Bible, no internet, no preachers, me, nobody, and just have them read through the Bible and help them see what the Bible says and not be influenced by what some other person says. That they would just put on their Berean hats. And I believe that they would see that God is relational. I believe that they would see what the Bible discusses from beginning to end, that he created the church. And the reason he created the church is so that we would love one another, so that we would watch out for each other, so we would take care of each other. And not only that, but so we would provoke one another to love and provoke one another to good works, as it talks about in James, to encourage one another. That's why he sets us in families, to edify, to build up, to strengthen, to encourage, to love one another, to walk with one another, to be in hearing and in hers as we lift each other's arms up. See, that's why we're not to forsake, that's one of the reasons we're not to forsake the gathering together of the community of believers that is talked about in Hebrews 10, 24, and 25. I believe with all my heart that the church provides protection and safety. You hear it said all the time that I can be a Christian without being part of a church. Yes, you can. Yes, you can. It doesn't say unless you accept Jesus as your Savior and join a church, you can't be saved. You can be. But I do also believe that if you're not part of a church, it's harder to walk it out. And to put, as the parable goes, to have that seed go down in the good soil when you're a me and not an us. Because not only does it provide safety and protection, but there's this guy out there called Satan who will fight hard against the church and fight hard against us. And he does it by constantly throwing unbelief, distraction on our faces, deceiving us, lying to us. He's always trying to establish other gods in front of him. If you want to know if you have any other gods, just see where your priorities are. It may scare you a little bit. It does me once in a while. He is there to remind us Do you remember when Jacob said that to you and it hurt you? He'll remind us of the hurts. He'll remind us of the pain. He'll remind us of the abuse of growing up, the broken relationships, et cetera, et cetera. Because he doesn't want us to be in family. And he especially tries to help us to believe that the church hurt us. But when we are in godly ordained relationships, we have nothing to fear. What have I said around here a number of times? If you stick around here long enough, I promise you, either I or somebody else will hurt you. It's just, we're humans. I mean, think about what God did with the church. He took a bunch of fallible human beings that fall short of the mark, set a leadership over them that is just as equally fallible and falls just equally short of the mark, and says, okay, carry out my will. Has the guy got a sense of humor? Praise God for Holy Spirit. Praise God for the family, so we can talk to each other, so we can grow, and each other's gifts can help us to stay all on track. Because the truth of the matter is, we have nothing to fear when we are in God-ordained relationships. Read the end of the book. We win. We win. But it's really cool when you're part of a group, because then you're walking with the Holy Spirit and you're walking with each other in victory now, and you don't have to wait until victory then. And we can walk in victory now until we get to victory then. I mean, it breaks my heart at times. Not everybody, but I've seen people that say, I don't need the church, I don't need people. I've got a good friend. Now, I'm not going to mention his name. Never went to church here. Went to church in Columbia. He was so lost. He was so in love with the Lord. And he decided to try it himself. And it's just sad. It's just sad. I mean, he's just so lost now. And it is. And it's, you know, we need each other, church. God has designed it that way. So we need to go forth in our walk with God. We need to seek out godly ordained relationships. True, sometimes relationships may not be perfect. Well, I guess I can even say most of the time relationships are not going to be perfect, if not all the time. But it takes all of us imperfect ones walking out who we are in Christ to improve them. That was my thought this morning. And then Brenda must have been sitting on the internet this morning, because she immediately came back with this scripture, which is so appropriate here. Proverbs 27:17. I'm reading out of the Christian Standard Bible. Iron sharpens iron, and one person sharpens another. Ooh, I don't like that verse. But it's a necessary verse. Because we need to sharpen each other. But if we run, just saying. But as we live in community, it's not just about us being me. But it's about us battling Satan and any negative situation we encounter as we walk forth in God together. That's why Timothy Keller makes this statement. Personal relationship, therefore, is the meaning of life. Now, he's not talking about, if you read the rest of this teaching, he's not talking about just the natural family relationships. He's talking about the spiritual. But he follows that statement up to make the point of why he says personal relationships, therefore, is the meaning of life. And Keller goes on, if you live in New York City, that's not what you're going to hear. You're going to hear personal relationship are a means to an end to get you ahead. And my question is, just New York? I think you might find some of that here in Just City. I did when I worked for the state. People would use you to get ahead. In the kingdom, personal spiritual relationships are just the opposite. See, in the kingdom, people love one another. That's what it says in Matthew 22:39. People serve each other. It says that in Galatians 5:13. People lay their lives down for each other. That's what John 15:13. And people prefer others over themselves. And that's what Philippians 2:3 says. And you can find it throughout the rest of the New Testament and the Old Testament. So how did Paul see relationships? Think about this. This is tough. 2 Corinthians 7:3, reading from the New Living Translation. I'm not saying this to condemn you. There's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Okay? Conviction, yes, no condemnation. And he goes on, I said before that you are in our hearts, listen to this, and we live or die together with you. That's heavy. We live or die together with each other. You think there's relationship there? There's quite a difference between relationships in the church and the world, you think? But some people might say a statement like, it's just too radical, it's way too over to the top, and it must have been mistranslated or something like that, and I don't really have to believe that to be a Christian. Well, not Martin Luther King Jr. What'd he say? A man who does not have something for which he is willing to die is not fit to live. It's pretty powerful. Remember, he did a lot of good work, but above all, he loved the Lord. And that's the thing that really irritates me today when people mischaracterize him, because he was a Christian first and foremost. He did what was right as far as the civil rights, but he did it as a Christian. That's how the kingdom of God is built. That's how God set it up. Tight spiritual relationships, radical spiritual community, amazing spiritual family, totally contrary to the world. And I know it's good when it works because I've been there. That's why it's so very important to ensure that the world doesn't creep into the church, and the world is creeping into the church. I read a book by Metaxas, and it was Dietrich Bonhoeffer, pastor, martyr, servant, whatever, prophet, I think it is, four things. It's a great book. If you haven't read it, it's a short book, 530 pages long. I read it in 2 weeks. 2 weeks. It's one of those books you can't put down. But there's two things within it. It talks about what's going on in Nazi Germany, okay, at the time, and how Hitler came into power and all that stuff. But it also talks about how the church, how the world infiltrated the church. And then he picked up, he established the confessing church, confessing Jesus, and separated himself from the state church. Caused him to be thrown into prison, into one of those little hospitality houses they had over in Germany back then. We don't want to creep into the church. That's why it's important to build the kingdom of God as God desires, through relationship, through family, through community. It's how God ordained the churches to be built. It's how he ordained it, his family to be built, the spiritual relationship to be built, for community to be built, Christ-centered community. One step at a time. One person at a time. People loving people. People serving each other. People preferring each other. People laying their lives down for each other. Really caring for each other. Yeah, that may sound hard, but those are all commands that we're to do. And that we can do when we're in relationship with the Lord and we allow his love to pour through us. Even to the point that we are to seek first the kingdom of God, more importantly and more than anything else, including food, shelter, and clothing. Whoa. The Bible. I didn't write it. Matthew 6, I'll get to it in a moment. But the kingdom, the church, are built one person at a time. It's us coming along beside other people within the church and outside the church, of just holding our arms up, holding their arms up. It's having that ability to walk forth with a heart for God and all he stands for, to have a heart to see people released into freedom, to see his sons and daughters become more and more closely aligned with him as commanded. Because I understand I've said this, but we need to get in our every pore that the kingdom is relationships. It's relationships with the triune God. It's relationships with each other. It's all about one large family. What did Phil say last week when he and Debbie were talking about the stuff down there in Ecuador and working with the street people and working with the women who they're pulling out of the sex trade and so forth? What did he say? Relationships are paramount. Godly ordained relationships are paramount. That's what draws them in. It's more important than food, clothing, and shelter. What's it say in Matthew 6, 31 to 33, and reading another Christian Standard Bible? So don't worry saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For the Gentiles eagerly seek all those things, and your Heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, because tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We are to not worry about tomorrow. We're to seek first the kingdom of God, to not worry about food, to not worry about clothing or shelter or drink or whatever. We're to seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. And remember, 2 weeks ago, we defined His righteousness as right relationships. Right relationships with God and right relationships with each other. Now, God's not saying don't eat. He doesn't want you to come in here nude. Please, don't. He doesn't want you to just lay out under the stars. Now, there's nothing wrong with camping. I've done that. I've gone backpacking in the mountains of the Rockies and other places, the Sierra Nevadas, Yosemite. And it's cool to lay out in the stars. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about where you don't have shelter over your head. Because I've laid outside in a snowstorm. It's not fun. That was 50 years ago, okay? We'll see how that works out. Can we move our bed out? Now, again, God's not saying don't do those things. He's just saying that He's going to provide those things for us as we seek first the kingdom of God. And there's a whole lot that goes with it. And God lays it all out in the Bible, what that looks like. Don't have time to get into it here. But it's all about right relationship with the only true God. Walking forth, doing what He has called us to do. And as we do godly, loving, ordained right relationships, we form within His kingdom. Not only with Him, but with each other. See, the kingdom is the kingly rule of God. It's over everything. What's it say in Psalm 103:19, again out of the CSB? The Lord has established His throne in heaven, and His kingdom rules over all. What's the definition of all? Everything, all. God is sovereign over all of creation. And within that is His church. The kingdom and His church are not exactly identical. The church is in the kingdom, but His kingdom rules over everything, even that which is lost and fallen. I believe Scripture gives us a great definition of the kingdom, Romans 14:17, out of the ESV. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of eating and drinking, but of righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. So it comes back to righteousness, right relationships produce peace and joy. And I like how Webster's, and you know, I use the 1828 version of the Webster's Dictionary. And righteousness, this is how it's defined in the 1828. It's not defined like that in the 13th edition, trust me. Includes all we call justice, honesty, and virtue with holy affections. In short, it is true religion. The first right relationship being with God, holy affections. The second with each other, holy affections with each other. Loving one another, building community, pursuing relationships, allowing Holy Spirit to form us into a family. Iron sharpening iron. Don't blame me for that one. Blame Brenda. No, it's good. Being the church that God has designed us to be. Yes, there's much more to it than relationships, but relationships is kind of like what's built upon the foundation, and we also want the power of God and the healings and all everything else that comes with it. But we also want relationships We've got to make it a priority to seek right relationship with God, which requires us to get into His Word, which requires us to pray, which requires us to fast. Requires us to seek Him, to run hard after Him. But what's the fruit? Peace and joy. I don't want those. Is there anybody here who doesn't want those? It brings it all back to this one thing that says Christianity apart from all, everything else. Right relationships, which comes by the grace of God as we seek first the kingdom, allowing Him to take care of everything else. Everything else. And He will. What's it say? Don't worry about tomorrow. Let tomorrow worry about tomorrow. Got enough to deal with today. How many people here have ever seen everything they've been feared of come to pass? Most of it doesn't. Praise God. But when we walk in that, we will have peace. And that, the Greek word there means harmony and tranquility. I'll take some of that. And joy, which the Greek says exaltation and great happiness, which is how God always and originally designed godly relationships until the fall. And you can read about it in Genesis 3, 1 to 7. Well, let me just read it real quick. Oh, that's Shannon's fault. Well, I would have blamed Taylor, but she's gone. So Genesis 3, that's the first book of the Bible, right? Okay. Now the serpent was more crafty than any other beast of the field that the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, "Did God actually say, 'You shall not eat of any tree in the garden?'" And the woman said to the serpent, "We may eat of the fruit of the trees in the garden, but God said, 'You shall not eat of the fruit of the tree that is in the midst of the garden, neither shall you touch it, lest you die.' But the serpent said to the woman, 'You will not surely die. For God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil.' So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was a delight to the eyes, and that the tree was to be desired to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. And she also gave some to her husband, who was with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and made themselves loincloths." And you know the rest of the story when God ran into him and said, who told you? Who told you? But here's the key. God would have nothing to do with it. He had nothing to do with it. He said, nope, that's not the end. It's not finished. Jesus is going to finish. So he sent Jesus and went to the cross. And what was Jesus' three words? It is finished. To establish what he always wanted. David Matthew, in his book, Church Adrift, which is an excellent book, God's great purpose is simply to have a family, a very large one. He's looking for sons and daughters who will love, verb, him and obey him gladly and freely. With the whole purpose of God wanting us to be blessed so that we would share in everything that God has always had and will always have. Doesn't that just blow your mind away? I mean, if you were God, would you be like that? I'm not sure I would. That's why I'm not God, and you guys need to be happy I'm not. It's just like Chris one day said, "I wish I would have known you back when," and I went, "No. No, you're blessed that you didn't know me back then." But our destiny, it will all come to pass, as I read in the scripture before, the relationship, the family, the community, because God, plural, is relational. He's limitless. God that lives in community, and he desires that for their followers. That's why we have such amazing relationships available to us. The most amazing triune God. The most amazing triune God. That is literally indescribable. He's We can't even imagine how great he is. But not just a relationship. We can have a deep, passionate, intimate relationship with him. I love it when I sit there and I ask God why. And I just hear so clearly, because I love you. Because I love you. That's why we have such amazing relationships available to us. Even with these people here in this room and those that God's going to bring. Which can also be deep and personal. But there's a caveat. Do we want it? That free will. You can't grow into all God has for us in relationship with him and others if we don't want it. We got to want it. We got to go after it. And it's not a works. But it is a works. And it's like it is in James, where it says faith without works is dead. Where it's not you're doing works to earn something. You're doing works because you have faith and you want to know this God because of how he has changed our heart. How he gave us that Ezekiel 36 heart, that new heart. And he changed our lives and he brought different people into our lives and all the wonderful things it had. And you just want to do it. But sometimes it can be an effort. Who's ever said this beside me? God's a God of grace. I've got lots of things to do today. I think I'll just skip my quiet time. Maybe not using those exact words, but we need to stir up our faith, to stir up our desire to run the race that God has set before us. It's really not that difficult. It is about community. It's about relationships. It's about ordained family. It's about those kinds of things. It's about seeking God for who we are, walking in what he has called us to walk in. And yeah, I acknowledge that it can be hard sometimes. But it is so, so worth it. I really believe that. I really, really do. I've lived it. I've seen it. I see it. See, the church, even with its shortcomings, can you let Ross, the church, even with its shortcomings, with all these imperfect people, if there's any perfect people in here, can you raise your hand so I know who you are so I can spend more time with you? But if we roll up our sleeves, okay, and we seek first the kingdom of God and right relationship with God, his righteousness. And as we just hold our hands out and allow his grace, his love, his mercy to pour into us, who here knows and understands that he has more love, more grace, and more mercy than we'll ever use? Not that we should challenge by sinning all the more that grace may abound, as it talks about in Romans 6:1. Not talking about that. But he has enough grace, enough mercy, enough love for us that we'll never run out. We don't have to worry about it. And as we accept that, guess what it's going to do? It's going to encourage us to love. It's going to encourage us to give grace. It's going to give courage, and it's going to encourage us to mete out mercy to those round about us. And the fruit of that is that we will form right relationships with each other. The worship team wants to come back up. I don't know about you, but it really does, when I think about it, blow my mind that the God of all creation, the sovereign God over the kingdom, wants relationship with me. I'm just being honest. You know? And yet he does. And I'm thankful for it. We are blessed beyond measure. We are blessed beyond measure. And we just need to pray that those that don't realize it will begin to realize it. Because I really do believe, church, that as we walk in more and more and more and more and more of who he is and who we are, that we will make a greater impact. See, we weren't put here by accident. We were put here in this community to influence this community. I'm not talking about it in an ungodly way. I'm not talking about it in a condemning way. I'm talking about by serving, by loving, by reaching out and taking care, by lifting one another up, by blessing. I'm not talking about going up to people that live in a neighborhood and taking your Bible and slapping them upside the head and telling them that they're going to hell if they don't repent. I'm talking about being who we are and who Jesus is. A loving, relational, right relational, community ordained, oriented, family ordained person that he is. That's the roots of our church. That's who we're supposed to be. You know? And everything we do needs that some way or another exhibit that message to those around us. To those around us here, and to those around us outside. That we care about you. And that we want to be there for you. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So let's worship the living God. If anybody needs prayer for anything, the front's open. Somebody will come pray with you, of course. Amen? Let's worship the living God.
Amen. Ready.
Oh, and if you didn't bring food, I just want to reiterate,